afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Just hits different during hockey season, during River King season. Oh, it just hits different.
You know, I don't know if they wanted it to be a hockey song, but it was doomed from the start, man.
It's their fault. Yeah. It's really their fault.
Yeah, it was.
But thank you very much to them. And a big thank you to all of you for joining us. You got your host, James, here. I'm joined by my partner in sports, Seth Habhager.
Good afternoon, all.
We're here to have some fun with you and get wrap up the week of Playmakers, wrap up the week of sports, and get ready for a big weekend of sports. Mm-hmm. Got a couple of big games on the slate when I'm talking about college and NFL football. Want to talk certainly about a couple of other things like River Kings hockey. And Seth has brought a couple of great topics to the show that we're going to get into about 5:30. We'll kick into some of those.
All right.
And we certainly want to go wherever you guys want to in the conversation. 715-424-2600. Call up and join us real easy through the Civic Media app, just a touch or two away. And I want to say thank you to Quality Plus Printing for sponsoring this hour, giving us the opportunity to do this. But I think that the only place we can start, Seth, is the World Series.
That's right.
We just
it's done now.
right. Yeah. And we're done talking about it.
We're done now.
The World Series has been being played since 1903.
Mm-hmm.
And, correct. And at this point, we've seen it all, or so we thought. It's something in basketball and football and hockey even when you hear a stat, this has never been done before or whatever. And in recent years, we've had a couple of really standout things where there's a triple play that happens and, oh, it's never been a 2-3-4 or whatever, you know, kind of combination and stuff. And those wild things that have happened. I remember being at the last Brewer game I went to. They won on a walk-off bunt. And I don't know, and I want to say that it was like the first time in their franchise history or something.
Probably,
like that.
Probably, that's very rare,
it was
yeah.
One of those things that we got to see. We saw the starting pitcher, Aaron Ashby, throwing up before the game. and for no, and nothing ever was explained, of course, because we're in the stands.
It happens occasionally. It happens.
Yeah, and then saw that at the end. It was just wild. And I don't know about other people out there. I'm curious, when you guys are watching this stuff, do you have a chance to kind of think of this, that how long this game is being played and we're seeing things happen hundreds of years later, 100 years, some later, that we've never seen before? I just find that wonderful, and it's kind of fun, one of the fun things of sports. It's something that we don't get to see very often in sports, but every once in a while it happens, and here we are. I actually want to start off our show with some stats of the show.
Oh, go. Let's do it.
Well, before we get to that, though, yep. Seth, I just want to, with the series itself, that fifth inning.
Oh, jeez. That's going to go down in history. Kind of what you're talking about is something you've never seen before. I heard someone describe that inning for the Yankees as like a literal nightmare. Like, you have that nightmare where you try to do like simple tasks and you can't. For whatever reason, it's not working. That's basically what happened to the Yankees in that fifth inning. Nothing went right. And it was physical errors. It was mental errors. You know, when Garrett Cole did not cover first base, a huge mental error. I mean, something you do, spring training. That's like one of the first things, cover first on a grounder to the first baseman, right? That's what you do all the time. And it ended up coming back to bite him.
$378 or $387 million between those two players and that play, and, yep. Between Aaron Judd and Garrett Cole in that situation. There's this movie. It's not a great movie, but I like it. The Replacements with Keanu Reeves, Gene Hackman. You know, it's got a couple of other great character actors in it too. Terry Crews, I think, is in it and stuff.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And while it's not, again, the greatest movie ever, I enjoy it. And there's actually one scene in it that actually stands out, and most athletes will go back and reference, and hey, what's a scene that stands out and that they got right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the scenes that most football players and a lot of people will point to. And it's when Keanu Reeves and Gene Hackman are talking about quicksand and what it's like to get into the idea when something goes wrong. And as soon as you have one little, everything is going right. You're coasting. You're ahead in the game. Everything feels good. And just the most random thing, a fly ball you drop.
Mm-hmm.
It just hits your glove a little differently. You were looking ahead too much at second base, and you weren't focused, all locked in 100%. You were just at 95%. Just 95%. You're still close enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, that 5% difference, what that makes.
Yep.
And how quickly that you see, if it wasn't Aaron Judd that it happened to, I don't know that it happens the same way. But that's the face of the franchise.
He's the captain. He's literally the captain of the Yankees.
And it happens to him. it's hard not to think that everybody else in that locker room, on that field, at mm-hmm. that moment, got the jitters.
It, something happened. It's very possible.
I really actually don't believe in a lot of a very. It's, I think it's extremely rare in sports to see somebody choke. Mm-hmm. I actually don't think it happens that often. I think sometimes it's your shot's just not there. Or mm-hmm. Like we've heard about John Starks and stuff and how he had these injuries and right. everything that yeah. were part of the reason why he was not nailing some of those shots.
Yep.
All these different things that we hear the backstory of. And, oh, it had nothing to do with nerves. These guys are Teflon. Do you think that yeah. that one little thing is going to rock their confidence right. when they finally got to this point?
We just heard about the WNBA Finals. She had a torn tendon or ligament in her hand. That's why she couldn't shoot in the final game.
And everybody, including people I look up to, were talking about her saying that she was choking.
Choking.
She had yep. choked. She, mm-hmm. had, she, could, you know,
she couldn't shoot.
yeah. So I don't think actually choking happens very mm-hmm. often. But there are moments where you can look and you can see a mental lapse.
Mm-hmm.
And that is different than choking to me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that what Aaron Judd did was a lapse.
Mm-hmm.
What the rest of that team did was choking. And it was on full display.
Right. Oh,
I said something about this to Scott earlier. I was shocked to see this series go the way it was every single game, because every game, even the game the Yankees won, the Dodgers were playing like they hadn't won a World Series in 20 years, and the Yankees were playing like, hey, we're just happy to be here. Like the Dodgers won.
It's
a couple
very strange. Yeah,
Dodgers won a couple years ago.
Yes,
I know they still got something to prove. Otani, yeah. blah blah blah, all that. The Yankees are the team with all the pressure. The mm-hmm. Yankees should mm-hmm. have been the team coming out there and like starving dogs and just give me that field. I want to go out there. I expected almost rage from that team. Like that we have to do, let's go out there and do what New York does.
Yeah, let's tear it up, right?
We're the 20 plus champion New York Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Major League Baseball is here because of us. Let's act like it. Let's be the New York Yankees. And they are not only we're seeing something in real time that we're going to look back on and really address.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing something happen here where the faces of sports, the Dallas Cowboys, the New York Yankees, even the Los Angeles Lakers,
mm-hmm.
Boston Celtics, not as good an example. So I'm not going to talk
about it. Yeah, right. Right.
even in hockey, where it was just basically any Canadian team in the Edmonton Oilers mm-hmm. or some of these things,
right.
Toronto Maple Leafs.
Canadiens, yeah.
All gone.
Yep.
And now it's just a hodgepodge of different teams that step up from time to time. And here's a little mini dynasty for you and mm-hmm. everything. And for right now, this team is the face of maybe the league. But
yep.
it's wild to think of. The Yankees will win a World Series eventually.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
But I don't see them as this dominant force anymore.
Mm-mm.
And it brings up this thing that I've heard a couple of people talk about recently of what should count as championships and all this and everything. And, they all count. They all count.
They all count.
You
Come
don't
on.
Get to change that. You
no.
don't get to change that. They all count. This is part of the history of the game, and mm-hmm. this is part of what it's about.
But, yeah.
If you are a Yankee player, how you come back from that fifth inning, I don't know. I don't know how
it's
you
rough.
Bounce back from that.
Right.
You got to. You have to. You're paid. You're a grown person. You got to go ahead and go
it's
out
your
there
job.
And do your job.
Yep. Yeah. You got to do your job. Yep.
But dang, I have never seen a complete meltdown like that, where just from player to player, yep. the ball is in action, and whoever the ball went to, that player was probably going to react that way as Volpe or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yep.
I got to say the biggest lapse was Gerrit Cole.
Yeah.
The biggest dumbfounding mistake I've seen in sports in quite some time, mm-hmm. honestly. And that's not in counting knucklehead moves like, punching a guy or something like that.
No. We're talking like within the game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mechanics of the game, basics. Mm-hmm. You hit it on the head, man. In T-ball, we're taught, go cover first.
The pitcher has to cover first on a ground ball to the first baseman. You got to do it.
I heard Bob Costas talking about this and saying, well, Gerrit Cole saw that he didn't have a great angle on it, blah, et cetera, et cetera. What are you talking about?
It shouldn't matter.
What are you talking about?
He's got to go to first.
Just go get the first.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've got to crawl. We've seen it. We've seen guys who are in bad shape make it to first
yes,
base.
Yep.
We've seen Bartolo Colon cover first. You are in great shape, Gerrit Cole. And the look on his face was complete blame on Rizzo. And I don't know what was in his head. Obviously,
of course not.
But it didn't.
That's what it looked like. Yeah,
the body language didn't help anything.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, a real quick couple of things about this, and I was thinking the very same thing you were about. What does this do to the Yankees? Okay, they could have gotten past this. They took the lead again.
Yeah.
And then the Dodgers came back. And then the end, the Dodgers won it. So had the Yankees won that game, we wouldn't even be talking about this right now. We'd be like, wow, look, the Dodgers came back, but then the Yankees, you know, pulled it out in the end kind of thing. But because of that, because they lost, and because it was an elimination game, that's all we're going to be talking about for a couple of, maybe it's going to be until the next season. I mean, people are going to be coming back to this a lot as we go through the offseason.
If the Yankees end up in the World Series again,
mm-hmm.
and they win the whole thing, that's it. Maybe then. Yes. Maybe then we don't talk about it as mm-hmm. much. But even then, I'm going to be looking at Aaron Judge like, could have had two.
Yeah.
Could have. I mean, there's no getting
that's
back.
That's what they're paying him for.
It's not going to end a Hall of Fame career.
No.
It's not going to stop a guy from breathing.
Nope.
None of these things are crazy. But in the context of sports
right.
and what you're paid to do, which is all about winning, You literally dropped the ball.
Literally dropped the ball on it.
We got to certainly talk about that inning,
yeah.
the breakdown of the Yankees and everything. But I want to do more time focusing and celebrating the Dodgers
mm-hmm.
and just seeing winning and what the Dodgers were able to do and did it without the greatest player in baseball. Like, Ohtani was there.
Yeah.
But he was, it's one of these things, we're going to find out, like we do at the, after the Stanley Cup, that Matthew Tkachuk was playing with two broken legs.
Yeah, right.
You know, half a spine.
Yeah.
And these things. And but his skull was impacted, like, yeah. and all that stuff. It's still, like,
had I love three that. Goals. How's he moving? Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, he did have the shoulder.
He was actually in a coma. Yeah. He was actually in a coma, and nobody knew.
He had the shoulder thing. So there was that. I mean, for the last game, but for the rest of it, yeah, he wasn't looking great.
He did not look good.
No.
He did not look healthy. But at the same time, look at Shohei Ohtani's body language.
Mm-hmm.
I understand he is a foreign-born player, mm-hmm. and Japan's way of kind of approaching manners and class and stuff.
It's a little more reserved in general.
Yeah,
in general.
So, yeah. Certainly that's yep. in context. But I talk a lot about body language from leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And I do this in part because of my own judgment of myself and the judgment I've received in it. And I've done a lot of work on this personally. I've done a lot of homework on body language and how body language can affect people. Oh, yeah, it can.
Yes,
like,
it can.
Oh, wow, it can. And James learned. Something and we grow as a human being mm-hmm. and evolve and all this. I look at guys that want to call themselves leaders, specifically say I'm a leader or mm-hmm. something like that, or try to be alpha wannabe males and all this stuff. And mm-hmm. time and time again, every single one of these individuals has horrible body language, and no great leader in history has had horrible body language.
No,
you think Churchill was sitting there and just oh my God and freaking out and everything? I mean no man. You think Patton was doing that? No.
Yeah.
Good. But look at the old athletes and how they handled the game when something bad happened more times than not.
Yep.
I'm not saying certainly outliers here and there, but overall, body language goes so far.
Dude.
And I really admire Shohei's body mm-hmm. language in when things are up yep. or down.
FDR was in a wheelchair, and a lot of people didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because yeah. the way he held himself, even mm-hmm. though he was in a wheelchair. I mean, seriously.
Certainly, the focus goes deservingly on Freddie Freeman and the World Series MVP
wow.
and doing things, again, we've never seen before. I gave stats on Wednesday of four separate things that Freddie Freeman did that nobody's ever done in the World Series. Mm-hmm. Like, again, 1901.
Considering all he's been through this season, the injuries, I mean, the really scary situation with his son.
Yeah.
That he missed a couple of weeks because of. I mean, whew, all of that. And he was there in the end. He's something else.
I was trying to find the stat of the show I wanted was, I think, 13 or 14. I'm not 100%. It might be a little bit more, it might be a little bit less. But it was the number of pitches that Walker Buehler threw in that relief period. Oh,
wow.
To win a World Series.
Yes.
I saw
on
him
2 days after pitching, two days before that.
A
yeah,
day
yeah.
rest, mm-hmm. not a day rest, barely 24 mm-hmm. hours rest. And seeing him on the mound warming up, I'm like, well, man, I give it to you, Mr. Roberts. Mm-hmm. I give it to you because that is a wild card move. And if it works, man, we're going to be talking about this. If it don't work,
you're going to lose your job, baby.
Yeah. I like that about Dave Roberts.
That was a risk.
I got to say,
took a risk.
I like yep. that about him. He is such the definition of, if he had no World Series titles, we'd be shredding that guy. But he's got two.
He's got two now, so yeah.
And Walker Buehler went out there and just like there was the amount of confidence in him. the amount of surety of what he was about to do. Mm-hmm. He knew that before anybody else what was going to happen in that inning. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt in my mind that that man went up there and knew exactly each of the three hitters he had, what he needed to do against each one of them, exactly what pitches he was going to throw against
the sequence,
each one of
them. Yeah, he knew it all. He knew what he was going to do. Yeah,
It was incredible. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. This is what I was talking about before the World Series. With all these big stars, and yes, Freddie Freeman and all these other things, I was waiting for the guy that we weren't talking about, we weren't thinking about, to show up and show, hey, let me show you what I got.
Yep.
Let me show you why. I first picked up a baseball when I was 7 years old and imagined in the backyard what I would be doing. Let me show you what I've been building for since then.
Right.
I'm here to do it. And man, did we see it.
Yes.
I know you can't give him the MVP for it or anything like that. But Walker Buehler, for me, I will never forget that. I will never forget that that inning, that moment.
Yeah.
It was dang cool to see, man.
Especially after the absolutely dreadful year that he had, to be on the roster, there was a good chance he wasn't even on the pitching staff for the World Series because of how bad he'd pitched.
Yeah.
And to come back and do that, I mean, that's legendary stuff, man. Yeah.
Along with the context of, you know, did you mention that it's been like 2 years since he's really had a good, healthy
because of, yeah, Tommy John, and it took him forever to come back, yeah.
So, Buehler pitched the ninth, recorded his first MLB save,
which
regular
is awesome.
Season or postseason.
Awesome.
His only professional save was August 13th in 2017 for AAA Oklahoma City. Alex Verdugo and Max Muncy were in the lineup that day with him as well.
Oh.
How weird is that?
And then, of course, Verdugo was the Yankees now. Mm. And then, of course, Max is still there. But still, that's awesome.
He'd go on to make his MLB debut on September 7th later that year. He had one save in college at Vanderbilt as a freshman and back in 2013. And I thought this was really wild. Buehler becomes the eighth pitcher, that's my number today, eight,
okay.
With a win as a starter and a save in the same postseason series.
Wow, that's happened eight times?
Eight times since 1969. Only since 69, because they've only been keeping
the division
saves.
Series, yeah, that's right.
Saves weren't official until 69, so, which is a fascinating stat if we really wanted to dive down a rabbit hole one day of, like, who would actually be the save leaders.
They have done it retroactively, but still, that's a cool thing.
That's
yeah.
true, mm-hmm. that's true. He joined Ranger Suarez in 2022, Clayton Kershaw in 2016, Madison Bumgarner in 2014, Kevin Millwood in 99, Oral Hershiser in 88, Catfish Hunter in 74, and Jax Billingham in 72 World Series.
Wow.
About three different Dodgers on that list now.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. That's kind
of
cool.
You know what? I was thinking of Randy Johnson in 2001, but he didn't get a save in the seventh game. He got the win.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next day he came back and pitched again, which again was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
Yeah,
but
I didn't get to see in real time Bob Gibson or anything like that, but Randy Johnson for me.
For our generation.
Yeah,
he was something.
We saw the tail end of Nolan Ryan, who was probably the most intimidating of our not generations. Bob Gibson again holds that mantle alone, but he's up there. Randy Johnson. It's just a wild thing to see. And also was kind of cool. I don't know if anybody noticed during the celebrating or anything, but hugging Freddie Freeman and Walker Buehler and making a point to find them was Clayton Kershaw.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know many people that looked more like a teenager and giddy and excited than Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah.
You got to think the competitor in that man, it would drove him crazy.
Oh, it was killing him. He couldn't play. Yeah.
And then that moment, he was all about his players.
Yep.
He was all about his teammates and everything. It made me like Clayton Kershaw that much more. I've always been a fan.
Always
made
been
me
a
like
fan.
Him that much more in that moment.
That's really cool.
Again, Freddie Freeman's MVP hit 12 RBIs in this series, tying 1960s Bobby Richardson for the most in a single series, single World Series
in five games.
Yeah,
in five games.
Right. Yeah,
which is impressive. Yeah.
and another thing that I thought was just wild, and it's got to be killing the Bronx right now. The Dodgers had to come back twice, trailing 5-0 and 6-5. They became the first team in postseason history to fall behind by at least five runs, erase that deficit, fall behind again, and still win the game.
Yeah, that was I honestly looked in on the game, and I think it was the fifth because I saw the bases were loaded, but I saw the Yankees were up 5-0. Gerrit Cole was pitching. I'm like, it's going back to LA. I really thought the Yankees had that game. And then I come back later and I see the little notification comes up. It says the Dodgers have won the World Series. I'm like, what?
I
had to go back.
I'm thankful that I kept the game on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful that I had it on in the background, had teaching going on, had some other things that
never
I was doing.
Never know what's
going
to happen.
And I like you, looked at that, and what I was thinking when I saw Yankees up 5-0, oh, not only are they going back to L.A., wow, are the Dodgers going to start choking this?
Mm.
Are the Dodgers going to start feeling the nerves? Choking was on my mind. It was not the Yankees. I was thinking, okay, well, you know, the Dodgers are pretty banged up.
Mm-hmm.
Shohei Ohtani hasn't really showed up here and everything. Is it injuries or choking, some of these things, mm-hmm. and everything? The stuff that was going through my head was all about the Dodgers.
Right.
And again, that's why it was that much more shocking to see the series of events that happened in that fifth inning. Just a wild World Series. Thank you to baseball for a very entertaining World Series.
Yes. And now let the Juan Soto sweepstakes begin. Mm-hmm. There's already been teams that have been meeting with him. Oh my God, it's only been 2 days. He's already in demand.
I mean, he comes out right at the gate and he's like, I'm open for business.
Yeah.
Like all 30 teams. Like, well, is there somewhere you want to resign? Is there somewhere you want to? No, all 30. Like that includes teams that he's played for before. That includes, you
wow,
know.
Wow, that's, I don't think I've ever heard that before.
Yeah. Yeah.
That also tells me, you know, 30 teams, that means the Yankees are involved too, but he's not giving them any kind of preferential treatment on this. There's no hometown discount for the Yankees.
It's hard to say I'd be surprised, but whatever the closest thing to being surprised without being surprised is, I would be if he re-signed with New York.
I would too.
Re-sign with the Yankees.
I was going to say, hot take, he's going to the Mets.
Yeah,
but it's actually not that hot of a take. I think a lot of people are saying, yeah, he might be going to the Mets.
I haven't heard it, but you said it, and it's one of those things. Oh yeah, yeah, you know, yeah, that makes sense. Juan Soto, Corbin Burns, Walker Buehler, Max Fried, Alex Bregman, Anthony Santander,
yeah,
Willy Adames, of course, formerly of the Brewers. Some of the bigger names in free agency right now.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Verlander is also out there.
It'll be interesting to see if he decides to hang him up right now. But he did not have a good season.
Marcell Ozuna, Anthony Rizzo, and Luke Weaver all have player options. And Yankees pitcher Garrett Cole can opt out of his contract, but the team can void the opt-out by adding $36 million to that deal.
That's it. Just a little bit of money.
Blake Snell, Nicky Martinez, Nathan Eovaldi, Michael Wacha are all out there, along with Jordan Montgomery of the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Some good two-tier pitchers on there, that list. That's going to be interesting to see where they end up. Almost certainly, Ozuna's going back to Atlanta. Because they have a really good team option for him, so I think they're going to pick that up. And Solera is gone. Solera,
that's it.
Solera is gone.
Name,
yeah. Yeah. They already traded him.
yeah, he's already gone.
to Anaheim.
Nice move for both teams, I think. You know, getting another pitching is never bad. A guy who can eat innings.
Griffin Canning, he had a rough year, but he's had some success in the past, and the Braves have shown they can work with guys like that. So he might have a career renaissance with Atlanta.
The Braves and Brewers are like some friends that I had growing up, some of the girls that I knew growing up. They're like, I can change him. They you know, and they can do it, though. They can actually do it.
Yeah,
they actually pull it
off. Maybe not his personality, but they can make him a better pitcher.
Yes, absolutely. And one of those names I mentioned are apparently is on the radar from Milwaukee, and somebody that not only the Brewers are looking at, but he is looking at the Brewers as well, and that is Michael Wacha.
Mm.
Michael Wacha is apparently interested in Milwaukee. Milwaukee is interested in him.
He'd be a good pickup.
It would be a nice, an innings eater.
Starting pitcher.
A great starting pitcher. A solid one. And a team that has proven, hey, we can take your scraps and we can turn it into something. We've got a good enough team to be able to do that. I'm curious to see how free agency goes.
I'm not going to get anyone's hopes up. There's no way it's going to happen. Can you imagine Juan Soto in AmFam Field?
Oh, wow.
He'd hit 70 home runs.
Yeah.
Because he could hit him to all field. It doesn't matter. And it's not like Yankee Stadium. I mean, it's got the short right porch, but the rest of the stadium is hard to hit a home run off of. AmFam Field, everywhere is a good place to hit a home run there.
Everywhere. You're so right about that. That'd be a wild place.
That would be wild.
One of the things that I think I really try to teach people in entertainment, but especially in radio, when it's so much of a one-angle thing, we talk out, we don't get a lot of feedback from the audience, we don't get to, you know, really pick up what the audience is thinking and feeling and all that. I say to everybody, know your audience. Mm-hmm. It's very important in life. It's very important in entertainment. It may be one number two, three on the list as far as important things to know. And I think the audience here knows me well enough to know that I know not to talk Chicago sports too much. Because I know you guys don't care or want to hear it unless it's my tears.
Yeah, right.
Which I have never had somebody thank me for those, by the way. You guys don't even have to travel 4 hours to get it.
I know.
I bring it
right here.
I bring it right here. but I do have to mention something that I don't think anybody's heard me say in years. Good, well done, White Sox. Well done. A nice signing. And
their new manager, yeah.
Bringing in Venable, a guy with a beautiful resume. Mm-hmm. A wonderful resume. A guy who wanted the job before and came back for a second interview, something Seth and I were talking about you don't see very often.
Usually when, because usually when they have an open call for managers, you know, they interview several people and all that kind of thing. If you don't get the job, it's very rare to go back again when there's an opening at the second time. Maybe if you're a part of the organization, then it would be more understandable. But the fact that he did it again, the fact that he's, the situation that he's coming into, to me, that is really interesting.
Yeah.
And I find that encouraging because it looks like there's no question he knows what he's coming into. It's a mess. And he's going to have to work really, really, really hard to try to right the ship. And if he's gung-ho about it, man, that's great. I love the idea of how excited he is about it.
Was with Theo Epstein in Boston. Mm-hmm. Worked with him a bit. Actually got his break from Theo Epstein. Mm-hmm. Somebody that Theo chose, and that stands.
He was a good player
too.
He wasn't a star or anything, but he was a solid player.
I liked him as a player. Yeah. I liked interesting enough, two guys that I liked as players that weren't necessarily stars could be on this staff because Grady Sizemore might be sticking around.
Wow, that's surprising too.
Yeah. But so here's the weird thing to me about this: he chose this job, and apparently it was rumored that he had other options. That this wasn't, you know, because usually, hey, okay, I'm going to take the job.
If you're an up and coming manager, the idea that you're picking, like, if you have your choice of jobs and that's the one you pick, wow, that's really remarkable.
I commend him for it, and good luck, and thank you. Thank you, Will Venable.
Because your hopes it works out.
First time I have had hope in literally, like, 3 years, like, as a White Sox fan, that I've had even a glimmer of it. And I have no idea if I should. There's a lot of things that got to happen here and everything. But I'm not looking at winning a World Series. I'm looking at not being a laughing stock.
Not having a record-setting year for losses. Yeah, let's nowhere to go but up, really.
44th manager in White Sox history.
Okay. That's actually not a lot, considering the White Sox have been around for a really long time.
I thought it was quite interesting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed that. I wouldn't have guessed that it was, that way. So I don't know what happened with our what's going on with that.
Oh! I think it's the Badgers game for the hockey game.
Yeah, so. But I don't know where to go here. Yeah. I can't really go anywhere.
That we can't.
What can I do?
I had forgotten about that. Oh no! We're stuck.
We are stuck.
We're stuck right now.
We are stuck. We cannot go to commercial break.
No,
that is pretty interesting. So what we're going to do right
all
now
right.
is
what
something
are we gonna do?
That I've been wanting to do for quite some time. Okay. We're going to give Pam a chance. No, I'm joking. I'm just kidding, Pam. I'm just kidding. Pam, like, you're not putting me on that microphone.
I was wondering what was going to happen at 5:30.
Well, now we know what happens. Yep. Yeah.
You should have went to break earlier, James. Yep. I learned something there. Our log is set up for the but we are excited to be out going to the Badger game.
Yes.
We will be joining the Badger game in progress, Wisconsin Badgers at Notre Dame. That should be a good one right there. We'll be okay. We'll keep the ship moving here. We'll just keep going and do something. I haven't had to do this in a while where we had to talk for the full hour straight and everything, but we'll be okay. We did want to send a shout out to Quality Plus Printing, our friends and our sponsors over there. A gigantic thank you to Phil and the gang over at Quality Plus. All your printing needs, head on over to A Street. Say hi to the gang over there for us, everybody. As long as we're going into the second half of the show here.
Yeah, right.
We burned all of our timeouts.
We did. It happened. We're in overtime now.
You know, this is why you go to the bathroom before the game. I had to use every one of my timeouts. I want to see an NFL coach literally wait, because we say waste timeouts.
Yeah.
I don't know if they really do. Like, literally waste a timeout. Like, I just had to go.
Yeah, right.
I had to get a dog. I was starving. I had to go up into the stand and get a hot dog. But before we get into the NFL college schedule and some of the key games lined up this weekend, Seth, you brought up a great topic to me that I wanted to dive into.
Okay.
And it's kind of a two-parter, if you will, everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One, the percentage of athletes that make it to the pros.
Oh, yes.
As I thought that was an angle of it, of where mm-hmm. you were going.
Yep.
And certainly the health problems for athletes after their career.
Yes.
What specifically did you want to get into here?
I wanted to specifically, so the reason I did this, and I sent James the article about this, Twins player by the name of Alex Kirilloff announced today he was retiring. He's 26 years old. He was the 15th all-around pick in the 2016 draft. Mm. He was considered one of the best pure hitters in the draft. He had a great minor league career. He was always hitting, and the times he was in the majors, he showed, you know, flashes. He had a great swing, you know, left-handed swing. He had power to all fields kind of thing. But he had several major injuries that he was dealing with. His back, his wrist several times. He had Tommy John surgery as well. And for his press release, when he released it today, basically he said he can't do it anymore. He can't deal with the pain that he has to deal with in order to play baseball. And because of that, the pain, the injuries, the fire has gone out. He can't do this to himself, his family, the team anymore. And I thought, wow, you know, he's 26 years old. He has basically, he may be living with pain the rest of his life because of wanting to play baseball.
Right.
He has gotten rewarded. He's gotten some contract, you know, some decent money. But you can't live the rest of his life on what he made in baseball. He's got to find something else to do, which he's not been trained in. He's been training baseball his entire life. That's what he's been training to do. He's got to figure out what he's going to do with the rest of his life. He's got to figure out, you know, what path to take. This was not in the cards. This is not something he, I'm guessing, planned for, was retiring at 26 because he literally, his body just wouldn't work for him anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it made me think a lot of why, you know, something to think about when you're watching the games. Any sport, it does not matter what sport it is. Think of the toll these guys are taking on their body. I always, every time something like this happens, I always go back to the final press conference that Sandy Koufax did when he announced his retirement when he was 31 years old. Everyone was like, why? The question, Sandy, is why? And what he said was, look, I don't know if you know, there's like, this is when cortisone first came out. He's like, I don't know if cortisone is safe. Mm. I don't know. And I don't want to be, you know, feel sick half the time because of the pills I have to take. I don't want to do this. They said, what about the loss of income? And he's like, well, ask a man who lost the use of his arm, how much would he spend to get it back?
Yeah.
And that's the way he was looking at it. Mm-hmm. He was smart. Sandy was extremely smart. He realized, I'm not doing this for the rest of my life. I got to leave now if I want to keep my body whole. And that's what he did. And that's kind of like a guy like Alex Kirilloff. That's where he is at right now.
Thank you. Well said. Mm-hmm. I want to get into some stats on this as mm-hmm. far as the average career length and
right,
some of those
yeah.
things. Will, in a second. Michael Comer joins us when he gets the chance on Fridays. Mike, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Doing good.
Doing all right. Yeah. Here.
While we don't have high school football locally going on right now, Michael, we certainly have quite a few things going on as far as high school sports are in general. What are the headlines to you? What is standing out?
State cross country tomorrow at the beautiful Ridges Golf Course, where the Assumption Royals girls, they are making their fifth appearance in a row, and they are one of the favorites to hopefully come out on top. If you're one of our local listeners and want to see one of the local teams do well, they're one of the favorites in Division III. And they also have a boys individual going, Reed Harches. He's going as an individual for the boys race, and he's the first Assumption boy to make the tournament since 2019.
Wow.
Very
cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I love cross country. Wishing all these athletes well out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's very exciting. Randy was in the on Monday, Michael, and we were talking a little bit about the high school basketball season for the boys and girls out there, getting excited about that too.
Yeah, I mean, the winter is probably my favorite sport season. You know, as a former wrestler, I'm all about the wrestling on Thursday nights. So that's what I'm all about. but I mean, basketball can be fun to watch. I actually cut my teeth a lot on gymnastics and the journalism aspect. So, I mean, I've got a big soft spot in my heart for the sport of gymnastics. I actually love watching that in the Summer Olympics every 4 years that it comes around. So, pound for pound, I mean, your wrestlers are strong. I get it. But pound for pound, gymnasts, they are the strongest.
Amazing.
Look at Simone Biles' legs and her feet. They could break half of
look
us.
Look at her neck.
Her neck. It's such a good point, man. It's such a good point.
Yeah, she's best in the business. So
that's the go right there.
I mean, just outstanding. And, I mean, it's funny. You know, I Jonathan Owens, I mean, I like him. I think he's just a good person. It's funny, he's like, yep, who would have thought I was the second best athlete in this family?
Gymnastics is fun. I love just mentioning it just got me excited talking about it. I feel like even though it wasn't that long ago we were talking about with the Summer Olympics, it feels like it's been a while. That's interesting that that's where you got your kind of where you cut it from, though. That's cool, man. That's good to hear.
There's plenty of conversation topics on several of the winter sports this year, as there's a few changes coming up. We talked a little bit about it during the summer months when the sectional seedings or assignments came out, that I'll feed this conspiracy theory of what the WIAA wanted with Team State Wrestling, and where they put a few of the four top teams in the state where they won't face each other at state. It's all going to be in the regional or sectional. But I did do some looking, and for the first time ever, I believe, Wisconsin Rapids Gymnastics, they are Division II, and it's not based on talent. It's based on enrollment. So it's we're seeing that now. We're seeing where I know in the past when they draw for hockey, Rapids is right about on that tipping point for Division One, Division Two, and they've been in that Division One side of it. Now the days are coming when it's going to be two, and gymnastics is the first domino to fall. You see Marshfield bounce back and forth from time to time. That pretty soon, just because the way the town's evolving, just fewer kids, and they're dropping divisions.
Anything else you wanted to touch on, Michael? I don't want to keep you too long here. We appreciate the time, as always.
Basically, James, all I can tell you is that my girlfriend said that you better not cross her path, because she's the only one that's allowed to call me an idiot.
I really meant it. Idiot Savant is a compliment. It really is. That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
She was just like me. All I heard was idiot, and I'm like, wait a minute.
If she's got a sweet,
I may be dumb, but I'm not an idiot.
If she's got a sweet or something she likes, you're gonna have to let me know so I can get some of those and have those with me if I do meet her.
What you got to do then is just put a bow on me, because I think I'm pretty sweet.
There we go. You got a sweet call, the River Kings. Great job over the weekend with that, man. Mm-hmm. We are so looking forward to hearing you call River Kings hockey this weekend. A big shout out to you for that. River Kings is going to be back home coming up next weekend. Mm-hmm. Everybody, be sure to make plans to visit Michael and the gang over at the Southfield County Rec Center as the Kings take on the Steele County Blades. Mm-hmm. That'll be coming up next weekend, Friday and Saturday games at 7 o'clock. Meet us over there and let's show them what home ice advantage is. And encourage everybody to sign up for the WFHR newsletter. Michael's been making a great addition to that, adding all of our sports coverage on
there. Lots of good stuff there.
Really nice writing, man. Really nice work.
I appreciate it, guys. And I want to correct you quick. I believe next week is the Northwest Express.
It is.
This weekend.
That's right. Yep, that is.
Oh, there you go.
See, dyslexia is a hell of a thing. Yes, let me tell you, it really is. It gets me every dang time. Yeah. I don't know why did I get into radio with dyslexia? Yes. It doesn't seem like a smart business move on my part. Michael, we appreciate you, man.
I get it, buddy. I pray to dog every morning, you know?
Always good talking to you, brother. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, guys. Have a good one.
See ya.
Michael Comer joins us specifically on Wednesdays to talk some high school sports. But when he gets a chance to call in on Fridays, we always appreciate it. Mm-hmm. He's been able to call in. Really, I didn't get to thank him for calling in during the high school football season.
That was really great.
That's what this is all about, being able to give you real in-the-moment coverage of these sports, of these athletes, of these games.
You're not getting coverage about high school sports anywhere else on the radio, except like right here.
Yeah, and a big part of it is thanks to you, Randy, Michael, and the work you guys are doing. Seth and I were talking a little bit about the making it as an athlete, but you put this in the direction I didn't expect, and I wasn't thinking of at first.
Okay.
I was thinking about how hard it is to make it to the pros, not about the guy who makes it and then the body breaks down. You know, for every Brandon Roy or Derrick Rose, the guy who has a couple of years of a career and we see a spark, we see something and then it's taken away.
Yep.
There are so many of these guys that never even really get going. I want to say it was Chris Borland. I'm not sure if it was Chris. It was linebacker from the he was for the Badgers and he ended up going to San Francisco. And he was having an amazing like first two career years of his career and everything. And then out. And then it just retired. He got a couple of concussions and retired. Patrick Willis, who was in the Hall of Fame, retired relatively early, and that's with a nine-year career.
Andrew Luck, I mean, is another one in that good example of that.
So I think it's a really interesting thing. I don't know if I've heard really anybody really talking that much about this particular thing. So just a couple of quick stats to having reference to this conversation. 2%. That is the amount. Fewer than 2% of NCAA student athletes go on to be professional athletes.
Less than 2%.
That's staggering.
Right.
That's staggering to think of. And
think of how many of them are trying to do. I mean, they're not all of them, obviously, but there's so many that are trying to make the pros. And it's, I mean, it's almost like it's your chance of winning lottery are almost better, right?
Yeah,
for a lot of these people, for a lot of these athletes,
That's amazing because that's what I was thinking. I'm like, my God, you might as well play the lottery if if you're doing it for the money at least, you
exactly,
know, or something like that. But then once you do make it, how long of a career you got? So looking at this, now PGA, sure, 10 plus years on average, and that's not
low
so
impact.
Bad. Tennis, 8.5, pretty nice, not so bad, not so bad. How about MLS, Major League Soccer, relatively new, 20, 30-year league or something like that, 3.2.
Wow.
NFL, 3.3, one contract. One contract if you're lucky.
Yep.
You're guaranteed.
If you're lucky.
NBA, 4.8, NHL, 5, MLB, 5.6. So maybe if you're lucky, each one of these sports, maybe if you're lucky, you'll get a second contract.
Yep.
But you are not guaranteed that, certainly.
No, not at all.
And so you are not living check to check like we know it and breathe it.
No, you're making a decent amount of money, even if it's a low on the lower end. Yeah.
But also considering, hey, you go to work today and your boss tells you this is your last check. You got to make it. You got to make it count. Now, this last check, I could pay you this, or I could pay you this. What are you going to do? You're going to hold out for the bigger amount because that's the last guaranteed check you know of.
Yep.
For every Tony Romo that can go on and get $1 billion, you know, announcing football and everything.
There's very few announcing jobs out there.
Very little.
Very few.
Very. Yeah. There is one Tom Brady, and he took that spot. Like he's got that spot. Like that's it. It's mind-boggling when I think of the people that will take the owner's side over the player. It's one thing to support your team, but your team is made up of the players.
Yes.
Not the owner ain't going out there throwing hitting a sack fly. The owners of the Dodgers signed a check. That's what they did. That was the extent of their job. They're done. I ask people to lean more towards loyalty to these players. Now you don't have to be loyal to them when they're not on your team.
No.
That's a whole different ballgame. but
then you can be mad at them all you want.
Exactly. But I would like to see us as fans kind of shift gears here and go much more towards the players than these owners. And look, you know, dirty secret, sorry, everybody, that includes Green Bay.
Yeah.
That includes Green Bay.
Yeah.
I know that there's some people out there that really rationally think they have a say in the Green Bay organization.
Not really.
No, you don't.
No.
You do at the very bottom of the list of things of, yes, you have this say in it. But do you really think that at the end of the day, things are not going to get made? If the fans want one thing and ownership wants another, well, guess what? Lambeau Field's going to be named Acme Lambeau.
Or something like that.
They're going to do that kind of stuff. It's already being done. Nobody's above that.
No
franchise is above those things.
Right. And maybe part of the reason I brought it up was to kind of shine a little bit of light on how short the career of so many of these players is, how they end up, a lot of them, with chronic injuries, chronic pain after they go. I mean, we're not even talking about the concussion stuff with the NFL and the deadly, literally deadly things that can come from that. I'm talking to just about not being able to lift your arm past your elbow or your shoulder, right? If you're a pitcher. If you talk to a pitcher, it's like, it's not like I have days with no pain. It's like today I have a little less pain. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's pain all the time.
We've put a lot of focus over the last handful of years on NFL athletes, mm-hmm. and certainly what it's like for them after the game, mm-hmm. From everything from Jim McMahon to Junior Seau.
Yep.
We've covered this quite a bit, and I think that's understood by the audience. There is the other things that I didn't even know until looking into this a lot. Like the average athlete, if you had one injury in your career, you were more like 82% more susceptible to depression, to developing anxiety disorders, chronic stress. Mm-hmm. You are also more susceptible to diseases because of these injuries that you
compromise your immune system. Yeah,
whether it is the common cold or it is something much more serious than that, you are that much more susceptible to it. We saw a lot of this during COVID,
yes.
where we lost a lot of older athletes.
Yes, we did.
And by older, I mean in their 40s,
mm-hmm.
like younger than me, some of them, or just a couple of years older than me, some of these guys we're talking about.
Yep.
This isn't the same thing as the gladiator days, but it is the modern equivalent of it. Of these human beings are literally giving us their lives in many ways.
Their health. Yep.
To entertain us. And I'm not saying they're just doing it for entertainment purposes or for the good of it or something.
No.
You're getting paid a dang good paycheck.
They are. Yeah.
There is a trade here.
Mm-hmm.
But that trade is something that none of us can wrap our minds around. Nobody. There's nobody that can. And anybody that can tell you that is lying to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm even talking about athletes that have been through it. Jim McMahon, any of these guys, any athlete that we bring up that is dealing with chronic pain or dementia or any
or
of these things.
Or this concussion syndrome, yeah.
Not a dang one of them could even put in the words, like, hey, was it worth it? They'll answer the question, but they can't genuinely tell you. Mm-hmm. And they certainly can't tell you for you. I just taking a moment during these games and go ahead, get bent out of shape when a guy drops a ball, lose your mind when a ref makes a bad call. That's what being a fan is all about. But mm-hmm. have some context,
mm-hmm.
have some understanding of, man, I am pretty fortunate I get to see this athlete or I get to see this go down.
Mm-hmm.
That we even have sports.
Yeah.
Again, none of this is guaranteed.
Yeah.
None of this is, it's all commerce. It's all business.
Yeah.
Without that, you know, we ain't got nothing. So, well, I mean, I'm just enjoying that we still even have sports. I still feel a lot of what I did coming out of COVID, where I'm thankful to have this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Amanda, you said so many just marvelous things right there. And it's
Michael like, wrote it for me.
Yeah, he did. It's all right there. Yeah. Same. Nice. The teleprompter's working this time. But no, it's let's remember these things when we're watching the game. It's like James said, we're not asking you to stop being a fan. We're fans. We like sports. You know, that's why we're doing this show. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing this. Yeah. But at the same time, remember what these guys are putting themselves through, and women now. I mean, we're looking at what happened at WNBA. Same thing. They're going through the same stuff that every athlete goes through. They put their bodies through so much. And I mean, you touched on it—the mental thing. Alex Kirilov said that in his press release. It has to do with the mental side of it too. He can't do it anymore. He can't work through all this. He's done, and that has such a great impact. I mean, that's the whole other thing, the whole mind-body connection there. I mean, yeah.
Something we don't think about very
often. We don't.
And I admire that, whether it's a Chris Borland or it's somebody like that or mm-hmm. any of these athletes that step away from something that they love so insanely passionate that they were able to get to the highest level in that sport.
And you can't do it without hard, hard work. You know that they've given everything they had.
To have to let go of that. That again is something that we can't really wrap our minds around, and you know, outside of a couple circumstances. I saw my papa, who loved driving like athletes love playing the game,
mm-hmm.
and just really enjoyed it. We're driving back from Chicago, and this is something that him and I have done literally 150 times.
Mm-hmm.
And he's driving, and I'm talking to him, keeping him busy, and all that. We pull over to get some gas, and he hands me the keys. He's like, "I can't do it. I don't trust myself. I can't mm-hmm. see that well." And it was 10:30 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't feel confident doing it. And he never drove again.
Yep.
And it drove him mad.
I'm sure it did.
It bugged him.
Mm-hmm.
I get some to a degree, and at the same time, I understand. I can't understand.
Yeah.
I admire people doing that.
Yep.
I also, though, have to correct one thing, Seth. When I first pitched this show to Chuck and to our higher ups at the time and everything, it was actually Claymakers. I wanted to do a show on a pottery. I don't really care that much about sports. I don't really.
Oh, it was a misunderstanding. So he's had to fake it the whole time. It's amazing. Yeah, oh my gosh, he's very good at this.
little surprised by that. Little taken back by that.
All these athletes do have clay feet, so you know.
We are looking forward to joining Badger Hockey in Progress. We'll be picking that game up in just moments from now. Looking forward to it. Badgers and taking on Notre Dame. I've mentioned this before. The only team in all of professional sports I could genuinely say I hate, that I dislike.
So
on Wisconsin.
Go Badgers.
Go Badgers.
I'm with you on this one, too, because, again, the family, and this is osmosis for my family. They all hate Notre Dame. So it's like, okay, I grew up hating them, too. So why not? That's right, Rudy. That's right. That's
Rudy. Oh my God! You want to talk about fiction? You want a good story of fiction? Go ahead.
Sean Austin is a great actor, and that's all I'm going to say.
Charles S. Dutton. Now, Charles S. Dutton
is fabulous too.
Charles S. Dutton. Just a quick glance at the NFL and college schedules. Not that many great games on the slate this weekend, although there will be some upsets and certainly some surprises in college football and probably in the NFL too. The marquee game all weekend. You got Wisconsin at Iowa. That is a big game. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin wins that one, will become bowl eligible. That's huge. Mm-hmm. But it is all about Green Bay, Detroit. That is the big one this weekend.
Yes.
That's the one that.
Telling you.
Whether you're a person of the North or not, I would think if you're just a football fan, that's the game you're focused on this weekend. I'm curious, in the last couple of minutes we have, I'd love to hear from the audience. Would you rather have, because they just said something a little bit ago, Jordan Love is still questionable versus the Lions after leaving last week's game with a groin injury. That ain't going away, folks. A groin injury is just linger. That ain't going away. Would you rather have a 75-80% Jordan Love or 100% Malik Willis? I thought Michael was bringing up some good points. I thought actually Representative Krug brought up some good points as well about the playbook seems a little more diverse, a little more out there, a little more weird even, fun weird, I mean, good weird, all positives I mean here, with Malik Willis. It almost feels like, you know, because Matt LaFleur was in Tennessee, and he wasn't there when Malik Willis was there. Mm-hmm. He didn't draft him or anything, but Willis coming from Tennessee and all this, it almost feels like this is the guy he wanted in some ways. Not specifically Malik Willis, but a guy like Malik Willis.
Right.
It almost seems to fit his play. He fits his playbook better than Jordan Love does in some ways. Now, there is no QB controversy here. Love is an MVP candidate when healthy.
Yeah, he's starting. He's starting no matter what. Yeah, when he can, yeah.
But if he ain't healthy, and we've seen Malik Willis can win games.
He can.
Why not put this kid back, let him rest and heal up so that you have him when you really need him at the end of in week 18 and week 19 and week 20? That's what this is all about for Green Bay.
Yep.
This is not about making the playoffs.
Right.
This is about winning the playoffs.
Yeah.
So why not have think about that. You've got a guy sitting there and just waiting for you, and you're winning games while he's sitting there healing. It seems like a pretty dang good scenario that almost 30 other teams would give anything for to have in the NFL.
Yeah.
You lose to Detroit. Well, hey, that hurts. You certainly want to win that game, but it ain't the end of the world.
No.
And Jordan Love, no matter what, you can't. In a sense, you can't lose because Jordan Love had another week to heal up.
Right.
He's not going to go. You're not going to play Detroit and come out of that game healthier than you were going into it.
No, not at all.
You're not going to go against Detroit and come out of it even as healthy as you were. Like, he's going to get even more banged up in this game.
Yep.
He's going to. So look at what I heard a report before I came in. Aiden Hutchinson has an actual realistic chance of playing in the Super Bowl if Detroit makes it to the Super Bowl.
Oh, my gosh.
His break didn't involve nerve damage. It didn't have a tissue damage or anything like that.
It's a clean break.
Just clean break. He was 2 minutes away from the hospital. One of the best surgeons in America was able to give the surgery. It really tells you how obsessed we are with sports when we know Aaron Jones or the name of the surgeons that do these surgeries and stuff. That's
nice.
It's also kind of cool to shout out to these surgeons and these people in those fields. So if that's the case, why not let Jordan Love sit back? Why not let him? I'm not saying all season. Yep. I just mean for a couple of weeks, a couple of games. Every game matters, blah, blah, blah. Yes, I understand this. I've watched football. That being said, I also know that the biggest thing between winning the Super Bowl and not is health.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else. Everything else is important. But the biggest thing on the list is health.
And having your best players healthy for the time. The only thing, and I'm with you on all of those points, James, but they're playing Detroit.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
It all goes out the window when you're playing.
When you're playing, especially within your division, especially with a division that's like the NFC North this year, because it's probably the toughest division in football right now.
How long do we have until the incident happens where Dan Campbell runs onto the field to make a tackle? I win his or a catch because he was a former tight end. Yeah, right. I feel like it's bound to happen at some point. I just wonder when. I'd like that to happen during the Super Bowl. Actually,
I want to see fun. Dan Campbell run out there. Man, he's probably he's close if not one of the best coaches in the NFL right now. And man, if a team needs something, it's Detroit. They need to get to that Super Bowl. Man,
we are just a couple minutes away from Wisconsin Badger hockey as they are in Indiana taking on Notre Dame tomorrow. We've got Badger football for you at 4:30. Our pregame kicks off. Badgers in Des Moines to take on Iowa. Should be a great game.
Yes.
And probably a low-scoring game.
Yeah.
Iowa tends to drag people down with them that thing. We'll talk about this on Monday's Playmakers. We'll also be leading you into Wisconsin men's basketball taking on Holy Cross. Gosh, college basketball's back. Yes.
Yes, it's starting already.
Oh, I love this time of year. I miss baseball, but oh, do I love this time of year. You got NHL.
Hot stove is awesome. I'm ready for the hot stove.
And boy, it is. It is going to be a hot one. We talked about that earlier. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait to see where some of these names go. It should be a lot of fun. And of course, we appreciate all the, not just today, but the guests that we had throughout the week.
Yep.
I want to thank every single one of them for joining us. And a big, big thank you to Randy Paul. this show started a lot with Randy.
Yep, that's right.
And being able to work with Randy and use that brain of his, to be honest. And Randy joined us on Monday. We haven't hung on in a couple of weeks. It was really fun to have him on.
Good to have him back.
Appreciate you, Michael, out there. Thanks a lot for joining us and the great work that you have put into things. And, of course, Seth, as always, great work by you.
Oh, well, you know, I just, I do my best. I do my best.
Got a great weekend lineup for you at 7 tomorrow in the morning. Sunshine Polka Show will be on. Be sure to check that out. Terry Talks Nutrition at 8 and 11 a.m. over the back fence. Mm-hmm. Join Seth for that. This weekend, 5 to 6, Director's Cut. Got a new one for you. 6 to 7, Seth Faces the Music. And 8 to 9, A New Unlabeled. All for you right here. Have a good weekend, everybody. We will talk to you sooner than later right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. Locally grown radio.